Returning to the book of Titus. I know you expect the book of Proverbs, but we're returning to the book of Titus because next Lord's Day, Lord willing, we're having an ordination and installation for the office of elder. And so it's good for us to see what the Word of God says, at least briefly, in these 2 weeks concerning the office of elder. So today we're just looking at verse 5, and next Lord's Day, Lord willing, we're just looking at the word blameless in verses 6 and 7 and what that word means. But I'm going to begin at the beginning of this letter and read all the way up to verse 9 because I want you to take in something that you haven't heard before, this book of Titus, because we've been in the book of Proverbs. And it's important that we start from the beginning, and it's important that we consider who Titus is. I want you to think about who Titus is and the context into which these words are given as the Apostle Paul writes to Titus about what he is to do in Crete. Starting in verse 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee, if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. The precious word of the living and the true God. Why do we turn to the book of Titus? We turn to the book of Titus because it tells us about the elder. It tells us about the elder, and we see something in verse 9 that helps us to narrow the focus just a little bit more. It's talking to us about the elder who brings the word. Verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. So he's talking about the pastor. But as you read through the list of things that are said of an elder, of a pastor, and will be said of deacons in the Word of God, you see that there are things that are said here that are said to us all. So what is it that Titus is to look for? He is to look for someone who is to be an example to Christians of what they're to be like. And that's the thing that Titus is to look for. Someone who is to live as a Christian in all of these ways so that others might see it and follow as that person follows Christ. And that's what Titus is to look for. And the amazing thing about Titus is that the Apostle Paul calls him in verse 4, mine own son, after the common faith. Titus was a Gentile. Paul was a Jew. And yet he calls him mine own son. There is a new relationship that Titus has with Paul because they are joined together in Christ. And so we see that what's happening in the church of Jesus Christ is a new thing, a new relationship And that's important for us here at Knox. That's important for us because some of us are actually making a transition in our understanding. We need to see the person who is being ordained and installed into this office through the lens of a new relationship that we have, a relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an important thing, because these words, although they are focused upon pastors in particular, they also are helping us to understand the office of elder. And even if we understand them rightly, how we are to live as Christians. And so if we allow our understanding of the old relationship that we have with someone to dictate our understanding of the new relationship that we have with them, we're missing what Christ has done. We're missing what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, demonstrates the new relationship that has come about with Titus. Titus is now his son in the Lord. And so that's why he begins by saying, "Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior." You see, what we need to focus upon in an event like this, in the life of Knox, is God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. We need to understand God's grace and his mercy and the kind of peace with God that we have as those who are bought with a price, those who have come to God through Jesus Christ. That's an important thing, because what we are looking for is the way that Jesus is going to build his church. That's what we're looking for. We're not looking at the past. We're looking at what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing right now. And this is modeled for us in the book of Titus, as the book of Titus is given to us to show us this new reality. Normally, in some letters like this, the Apostle Paul spends a large amount of time in a thanksgiving section. He devotes a number of verses to it. But in this letter, he gets right down to business. He mentions grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. He has opened the letter by giving us big themes, which he often does in his letters. But then he gets right down to business. Because Titus, you see, is on the island of Crete. Now, Crete was famous. It was not a godly place. Verse 12 says, "Even a prophet of their own said, 'The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies.'" The Cretans, habitual liars, lazy gluttons. That's what slow bellies means. And this is where Titus is to look for those who will bring the word, for those who will grow in Christian character, for those who will lead the church of Jesus Christ. And he's not to look for just one, as if now Titus were the bishop of the whole island of Crete, ruling over all of them. In fact, if that was the idea, why didn't the Apostle Paul just do it himself? No, he's to look for elders in every city. Suddenly we begin to understand something very, very important about the local church in God's providence. The way that he has set up your local church is part of the rule of Jesus Christ. That's an important thing for you and for me to recognize here. In fact, the man who's going to be ordained and installed here at Knox next Lord's Day has been here longer than I have. The Lord Jesus Christ has been working on this all along. And we need to understand that this is the way that the Lord Jesus Christ is working. Because it's not just one whole region that Titus is going to rule over as a bishop. No, there are local churches with their own leadership, and Titus is to find them. In a place where the Cretans are described as liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. Now, I have a niece who just went to Crete. She knew this family, I guess it's who you know. She was able to go on vacation there. And she found it to be a wonderful place. She was only there a week and a half. But we're talking about the first century, and we're talking about an island that was famous for not having people that demonstrate Christian character. And the amazing thing is that the Apostle Paul, rather than doing it himself, has confidence in his son, Titus, to go to the cities of Crete and to find people that the Lord Jesus Christ is raising up. That tells you something marvelous and wonderful about the Church of Jesus Christ. It forms in the most difficult of places. People that need the Lord Jesus Christ are given the opportunity to be part of a local church where Christ is raising up people that will rule under him, elders in every city. The Apostle Paul says that this was the reason that he left Titus in Crete. That's amazing in and of itself, because it says something remarkable about Paul's view of Titus. And it says something remarkable about Paul's view of the church. The Apostle Paul had confidence that Titus was going to be able to set in order the things that are wanting. In other words, the Apostle Paul did not accomplish everything that needed to be accomplished in the Church of Jesus Christ before Titus was set about this task of appointing elders. That thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. That's what the Apostle Paul was sending Titus to do, to appoint elders, to get the Church of Jesus Christ started. And we need to recognize this is along the way, as the offices are being formed in the Church of Jesus Christ, as pastors are being found, as elders are being found, as deacons will come along. But Titus is given this amazing responsibility on the island of Crete, a place not known for Christian character, to find those that God is raising up. It also says something to officers in the church here at Knox. If the Apostle Paul has confidence that the Lord Jesus Christ has equipped Titus to serve in this role in the way that he is sent, then we need to recognize that our confidence in the man who will serve in this role, Lord willing, starting next week, is sent by the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's the challenge that we have. We can look around and we can say, I see Crete. Liars, lazy gluttons. I see people who are evil beasts. But at the same time, in that environment, the Lord Jesus Christ is raising up the people of God. And he is providing for the people of God in the way that he always does. What was it that the Lord Jesus Christ said? We haven't come to it in the book of Matthew yet, but I think you know the words. As the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to Peter, he said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I will build my church, he said. That includes Crete. That includes Lansdowne. That includes where we are right now. That promise of the Lord Jesus Christ to build his church, it applies to the next generation. Should something happen to one of the officers of this church, the Lord is already raising up another one. He is providing, you see, for the church of Jesus Christ. And that's important for us because the church is built upon foundation. The Apostle Paul recognizes that there is a foundation that's been laid. He mentions this in another place in 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 10, as he says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If the church is going to be built, the church that the Lord Jesus Christ is building, it has to be built on the Lord Jesus Christ. That means that as the Apostle Paul looks at Titus, he sees him as his own son after the common faith. It means that he must see him in the context of grace and mercy and peace that come from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. That means that when we look at the person that some of you have known as your child or your brother or through another relationship, you now are being guided by the book of Titus, by the providence of God in bringing us to this point, and by the rule of Jesus Christ himself to see all of this in different terms. This is how Jesus is building his church. Now we know that no other foundation can be laid than Jesus Christ. So when someone deviates from that foundation, it is your privilege as the people of God to read the word, like the people of Berea did, and to compare what's happening to the word of God. And you have the word of God in your own language. In fact, this letter that was given to Titus was not just a letter given to him alone. It was a public letter. A letter that was expected to be read to all people who were in the church on the island of Crete. And that is read to us today. That's why at the in the third chapter of Titus, in the 15th verse, it says, grace be with you all. Amen. There's a benediction. Not just for Titus. Grace be with you all. We are all given this instruction. It is given to me. It is given to you. It is given so that you might see the Lord Jesus Christ building his church in this way. The church, you see, is built upon a foundation. The church is a building project. Building projects take time. It takes time for the church to be built. A building has to be designed. It has to be constructed if you want to do it properly. And the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has the divine plan for building the church. And he passes it on to Titus. He is to appoint elders. He is to ordain elders in every city as he had been appointed. When there's an ordination and an installation of someone to an office in the Church of Jesus Christ. There's an office ruled by Jesus Christ. We're to see Jesus through that. This has taken time to get to this place. One time, we were trying to build a campfire. We were camping, and the fires that we built really fast weren't working. So finally, we slowed down, and we carefully constructed the pattern of the sticks according to the pattern that we knew would be best for a fire. You put the smaller sticks in the middle, you put something that burns quickly, you put the smaller sticks in such a way so that you have air that goes between them, you put the larger sticks on the outside, you put the bigger sticks beyond that, but you make sure you have enough air so that when the fire starts, it can spread to all the sticks. When we did it that way, fire started right away. Same thing with the church. When we slow down and follow the pattern that God has given in the Church of Jesus Christ, we can expect the Lord Jesus Christ to build his church that way. And so, next week, we're going to see what it means that the elder who is ordained and installed, the person who is given an office in the Church of Jesus Christ, is to be blameless as the steward of God. But what's important for you and I to see today is that this is the way that we are to see Jesus Christ building his church. We are to see that this is the way that the Lord Jesus Christ has ordered his church. Like you order a building, like you order a decent campfire. The way that the church is to be built is according to this pattern. And this is for us to see our relationship with this person who is going to be ordained and installed into this office through the lens of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And that takes some time for us to take in. And so we're going to just look at that small group of words next week. But I want you to take this in. The same one who's being fed to you in the supper is providing for you in this way. The same one who is being given to you in the supper so that you might know God's unmerited favor, so that you might know his mercy, so that you might have peace and reconciliation with God, is giving you someone who is supposed to be pointing you to Jesus Christ. That's the office of elder. That's the person that is being ordained and installed in your midst. But your eyes and your attention are always to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. I stand up here in this pulpit on a regular basis. It would be easy for you to focus upon a flaw. Maybe I don't have enough hair. Maybe I scratch my nose too many times. And it's distracting to you. I'm sure that you could find many more that are even more damaging. But you see, if you listen to the word of God proclaimed that way, you won't be fat. In the same way, if we follow the way that the Lord Jesus Christ is guiding us, by looking at the man who's in the office and by focusing on his personal flaws, not looking at Jesus Christ, we're missing the point of the office. And we're missing Christ. This is the way that Jesus Christ is demonstrating himself. And that's important for us. Because this is the way that these new relationships, like the one Paul has with Titus, are manifested.